SBS Radio.
It follows the federal government Ruddock review into religious freedom conducted last year. What it will do is create a new office of the Freedom of Religion Commission in the Australian Human Rights Commission, and it'll also set out new regulations to protect religious freedom. Under the federal government draft Religious Discrimination Act, which was released just last week, New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies CEO Vic Alwaldeher could have argued his exclusion from a multicultural labour event in August last year was discrimination on religious grounds. Attorney General Christian Porter outlined the new legislation to religious leaders, community groups and media at Sydney's Great Synagogue last Thursday, and he used the incident in which Mr. Alwaldeher was refused entry by State MP Shekat Mosselmein as an example. He said people would be protected against a range of real-life incursions by the specific protections in the bill.
Shane, before we move on, can you remind our listeners what happened with Vic Alwaldeher?
So he received an invitation along with members of other representative faith and multiculturalism groups to go to this function, which was a Labor function, which was hosted by Shekat Mosselmein. And when he came to the door, Shekat Mosselmein refused him entry.
What was the excuse?
He was the host and there was no reason really, apart from, I guess, the Alwaldeher being representative of the New South Wales Jewish community.
So in fact, if the Religious Discrimination Act was in place, we could have sued.
Yeah, that's correct. It could have made a difference at that time if he chose to do that. But the Act also sets out other things. It'll provide comprehensive protection against discrimination on the basis of religious belief or activity. Also sets out what it does not consider discrimination, such as, for example, religious schools and charities engaging in good faith in conduct that might reasonably be regarded as being in accordance with the doctrine, tenets and beliefs of that religion. According to an Executive Council of Australian Jewry analysis, Jewish day schools, for example, would be free to continue operating in accordance with their religious beliefs in all their operations, including enrolment of students, employment practices and the hiring out of their facilities, without this being considered discriminatory, although this protection won't apply to aged care facilities. There's also a certain number of protections for people of faith in the workplace, and the Executive Council of Australian Jewry has identified some other areas that it is asking for further clarification on. A final draft of the bill will be presented to Federal Parliament in October. Until October the 2nd, the Attorney General is welcoming members of the public to make submissions. I should just mention very quickly that some members of Australia's gay and lesbian community have expressed some concerns over the government's draft bill, including the co-convener of Aleph Melbourne, Michael Barnett, who called the legislation payback from the hard right of the Liberal Party for the passage of marriage equality, and former Wentworth MP Karen Phelps, who is a Jewish member of the LGBTQ community, has also been particularly vocal about the issue and says it's important for Australians to have the right to hold any faith without discrimination as long as it does not affect the rights and freedoms of other Australians who may not share those views.
And we are talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News, and you're listening to SBS Radio Shalom Australia, broadcasting with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, there is a terrible tragedy in Dover Heights. There was a fire there.
Yes, very sadly, a 90-year-old Jewish man, Marcus Opit, died. He was in his home last week when smoke emerged. He could not be rescued at the time. And a senior firefighter, Eddie Weisbach, who is Jewish, was actually off duty, but he happened to live just two doors down from this property in Dover Heights on Napier Street, and he noticed the smoke and straight away ran into the house, not once but twice, crawled in. It was very hard to see. The heat was incredible, he said. Despite his amazing efforts, Marcus Opit could not be found in time for him to be rescued. It was just too dangerous. Marcus's three sons arrived at the scene. They came to Mr. Weisbach and thanked him for everything he did. So the Opit family family has been an integral part of the Jewish community in Sydney since 1887, with Marcus's father, Nahum, grandfather Julius, and great-grandfather Marcus Israelowitz, all active members in the Jewish communities. Marcus is survived by 6 children, 17 grandchildren, and remarkably, 8 great-grandchildren.
On a different matter, what is the story about a crossword in the Sydney Morning Herald?
That's right, the Sydney Morning Herald has launched an investigation after this crossword in last Tuesday's edition, which was also featured in The Age in Melbourne, appeared to recognise Palestine as the Holy Land. The issue was first raised by the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council, which wrote on Facebook, "Today's crossword clue, the Holy Land, surely the answer is Israel, unless you are doing the crossword in today's newspapers, where the Holy Land is apparently Palestine." The Sydney Morning Herald editor, Lisa Davies, told the Jewish News, "The crosswords are provided by an external contractor, so I wasn't aware of this." The papers also put out a statement in which they said they apologise for any offence caused.
We're talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Shane, there were few visitors, important visitors from Israel in Sydney last week. We had the Israeli former foreign minister, Tzipi Livni, in Sydney and Melbourne. Another visitor was Eliezer Shaked. He's the former head of Israeli Air Force and CEO of El Al. And another visitor from the U.S. was Deborah Lipstadt, a Holocaust historian. There was somebody else from Israel, Ido Lazan, and he came to the screening of Fiddler, A Miracle of Miracle. Let's start with Fiddler. Tell us about this movie and why we had that visitor coming from Israel for that.
Yeah, so this is was apparently the first advanced screening of this documentary in Australia. It happened at the Randwick Ritz, as you say, the ZDVO event. It's a lovely documentary that goes behind the scenes and tells a story about the process of Fiddler of the Roof, of course, one of the world's most famous musicals, how it all happened. And the actual amazing highlight of the evening was also Ido Lazan's speech. He was the victim of a terrorist attack at a local pub, Dizengoff Street, Tel Aviv, in 2016. He was shot in the stomach and in the groin several times. His leg was temporarily paralyzed, and he actually, at the time, had just trained as a fitness instructor. He recalled that when he was in his hospital bed after 10 days of surgery, he was invited to join Beit Halachim, which is a series of rehabilitation centers for injured soldiers and victims of terror in Israel. He said that was like hitting the jackpot because they can really help you move forward. And the amazing thing is they didn't just help me directly with physiotherapy, mental aid and all the other things I needed, but opened up a special CrossFit training center at the Beit Halachim center I was in, giving me the platform to work there to help others. He said he's just one example of 51,000 other Israelis who rely on Beit Halachim. In a very touching moment, Sydney Bar Mitzvah boy Tali Shacham came on stage and presented a check for $2,000 ZDVO after he asked all his guests at his Bar Mitzvah, instead of giving him gifts, to donate money for ZDVO. For me, it's amazing to know that a 13-year-old young man all the way in Australia is thinking about how to help casualties of terror back in Israel.
Shane Dziatnik, thank you so much.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.